Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets from all around the world who gather together to discuss a love of the written word, spoken word, art, and just appreciation for one another. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the June 29th, 2018 edition. I am your not-so-humble host, Michael Amadei, but I'm working on it. Right here, across from me, is the man who keeps everything moving. He's actually the driving force here, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Kind of busy and struggled with a little technical issue at the very, very beginning, but we're all good.
You got it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
You are definitely responsible for the copious amounts of Weird Al in the music.
Yes, yes.
I think
it is my fault.
That's your kind of thing. It's all right. It's good. Weird Al's great.
Yeah.
He is.
So how was this week for you? I know you've been neck deep in school.
Yeah.
I know you've been just really into it.
That's pretty much it. It's been pretty busy. Obviously I don't do well in the heat, so I'm like, get away from the heat as best as I can.
Yeah.
And then other than that, it's been good.
Well, I don't think people know that we beat out Phoenix yesterday for heat.
Yes, we did. We got a 105, so there, Mary.
Yes. Suck it. We were cooking eggs all day long on the side. Now I don't have any more eggs, and I'm angry. But no, we didn't really do that, actually.
But we did catch on fire a lot yesterday, too.
There was a lot of that.
We got a few new fires that went started up because of it.
That's true. That's true. There was a thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the week's been really interesting. Should I tell them the commitment I made on Wednesday night? Because I'm kind of feeling like saying this publicly, at least to the people on this show.
Okay.
Might be something cool. And I think I'm going to announce it because I just want to, like, keep myself to it because I know it sounds weird. It's kind of ambitious.
It's ambitious, but I think it's
doable.
It's definitely doable.
Okay. So,
especially by you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. So I kind of made a bit – I make these crazy claims sometimes, and then I try to go through with them, right? So, for instance, doing a podcast every day, right? Tonight I'm on episode 188.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I've actually done more than 188 episodes, but I'm not numbering all of them because some of them are health updates and stuff. And so this thing that I had talked about wanting to do and was trying to figure out how to do it, and I finally have figured it out. And it's kind of a scary thing. So I'm going to commit to writing a book per quarter of the year.
That is very ambitious. Yeah.
So per quarter, whether it be a book of poetry, whether it be a book about a nonfiction subject, whether, you know, something like that. Maybe collaborations as well. I won't count like anthology though. Like that's not me writing a book. Could be a children's book. But my goal is this. I'm going to take that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to commit for the next 25 years. So that's 100 books.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I thought that was crazy until I found Alexander Dumas did the same, right around the same amount.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who do that level of work. And yeah, he was full time, and yeah, it's crazy. I think I've got a method. I think I got it figured out. So, and there's other people who do this. It's not like it's never been done before. It's going to be my kind of public announcement. I have agreed to do this, a book a quarter, for the next 25 years, if I'm still alive, as long as I go.
Go as far as you can.
Yeah, exactly. If I have to do speech to text, that's what I'll do. Damn it.
That'll be. We might be there in the next 5 years.
Oh, it's already
sure.
Okay. It's already pretty good. With some editing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's enough about me. That's enough about all of this. So tonight we're going to have some great poetry. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to announce the first three clues for our July 2018 Poet of the Month. That's not going to happen yet. We're actually going to do that at the end of the first segment. Is that right, or beginning of the first segment? At the end of the first segment. So I had it right. I just wasn't too sure about myself.
It's okay.
Now, here's kind of how this works. We're going to have a segment. Everybody can, you can try to call in. The first five people that we get, you'll be put in order. You'll be the ones in the first segment. If you don't get through, just wait till the second, and you can call in. Then we'll make sure you get a spot.
Yeah.
If we have to do a third, we'll do a third. I don't know if that's going to happen. After those are done, we'll do a return engagement where anybody who wants to read can call in, whether it is someone who's already read tonight or someone new. It's no problem at all. We also have a submission that we'll be reading. And like I said, we'll be giving out the clues as well. We have three rules. Number one, have your poem ready when we get to you on the phone so we're not wasting time. Number two, we don't do hate speech here. We try to keep this a place where we can be open and communicate, but no one feels pushed upon. And number three, we try to skew PG-13. Even though we don't, like to get into censorship and things, we do try to have things where families can listen if they want to and help them build their love of what we're doing as well. That being said, if you've got something really going, it is artistic, we won't jump in and stop. But if it gets a little over the top, we might jump in and recommend that you read it on one of our After Dark segments, which we won't be having this next month, but it looks like we will be in August. Yeah? Okay. Cool. So that's all of that. Now, let's get into, you want to just do the first segment, Colin?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. The thing about that drop that I really enjoy is that it is, it is definitely the message that we put out with this show and that we mean to put out with this show. I have this thing in the back of my head, and I want people in the chat room to tell me if you think. Personally, I think it would be great to do one that is not actually those same words, but it's me doing it in the most ridiculous voice possible. Anyone's voice. Anybody's voice at all is welcome on the show, or just doing my best Gilbert Godfrey impersonation.
There you go.
Gilbert Godfrey. Yeah, no. It was like everybody's voice except that guy. Don't let him on. All right. So we've got five great people lined up here. We've got an awesome submission here from Namrata, and we're going to be at the very end doing the very end of the segment doing the first three clues of our Poet of the Month for next month, July of 2018. JT, you want to just do it for catharsis? That feels better, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay, it really does. Okay, so here's the submission from Namrata Santoki. It's called Seven Shades of Chroma. Here we go. The beautiful shades slowly take shape in the clear sky to decorate the atmosphere. The hue of royalty and nobility, the hazy shade of violet, enlighten the humans with both peace and pride. Indigo, with its spirituality, teaches us to acquire a deep sincerity and wisdom, to have a devotion to the Almighty. The color of distance beyond the horizons, of the blue ocean sky and the heaven. With patience, trust, and stability, inspiring to look towards the future. Green in its widespread nature, the trees, the leaves, The fern, with persistent growth, symbolizes renewal of energy. Yellow, the luminous of all, the color of our lovely sun, one with the warmth and cold days, as it gives a shining good cheer. The combined energy of red and yellow, the orange and the oranges too, fascinating the humans, to be determined about their goals, the most vibrant in the spectrum, the color of passionate love. This intense shade of red exemplifies purity in Indian brides. The elegant arc in the sky sends a message from heaven. The greater the storms in your life, the brighter will be the colors filled in thereafter. And that was The Seven Shades of Chroma by Namrata Santoki. Namrata, thank you so much for sending that in. It was a lovely piece, and we always appreciate it when you send in our work. If you want to send something in like Namrata, you can do it one of two ways. Send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or on the page there, worldpoetryopenmic.net. Just find the contact form and put it in there. Those are the only two ways to get it to us. Cool?
Cool.
Cool. All right. Let's go now to our first caller. He's in a great leadoff position. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Good evening, Dennis.
Hello. Hello. This is Dennis from the Mitten State.
All right.
Smitten by the mitten.
I've been smitten by a mitten many times.
Yes. This then it's Friday night.
Yay.
Happy last Friday of June night.
Yeah,
yes.
No kidding, huh?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with yourself?
Did that pass fast? I don't know.
Man,
I think I'm
going
to call in and read some poetry.
All right. Yeah, you know, more. It's almost over a third of my summer vacation's gone.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But not amusing.
No.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I choose to be amused by the weirdest things, so, you know.
Okay.
All right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to step off. We'll let you read, and we'll talk about it after, okay?
All right. The poem I'm going to read tonight is very special to me. It is a collaboration between me and my twin brother that we wrote a number of years ago. In fact, it was written in 2007. He passed away in 2010, and he was the one that got me interested in poetry, and we wrote this together, and it's special. So I'd like to share it with you. The title is Unity in Diversity. We live in a world of diversity, but unity must exist as a friend. Deny not the differences all can see. Tolerance must prevail amidst the blend. Just imagine a world where all is the same, and all things unique were removed, thus devoid, where all share sameness in face, thought, and name, instead of all of our uniqueness enjoyed. Bound by laws of state and morality, in unity, we share this common ground. Though oft different, we seek neutrality, so that the greater good for all may be found. For peaceful coexistence, unity is a must. Some compromises we all have to make. It is with respect for others we build on trust. Each from our vantage, yet for all our nation's sake. End of poem.
It's a powerful piece.
Yes, it we wrote together very well when we wrote. It was a great time sharing with my brother, and he wrote so many wonderful things, and a lot of spirit.
Mm.
He wrote some really wonderful stuff, and I just like to acknowledge him as a poet and mentor for my poetry.
Yeah. Well, that's lovely. Dennis, we had no idea about you having a twin brother, and that was just beautiful because of it.
Yes, well, it was a special relationship. It's so sad it had to end so soon, but just the physical part, he's still with me.
Absolutely.
He'll always be with me.
That's it. You got it. That's right.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, so thank you, sir.
Thank you for letting me share that, and thank you again for the format. It's such a joy to come here on Friday nights and listen to all the poets, and your able hosting, and your especially the songs too. I really love Studio X.
Oh, well, thank you.
I look forward to it every time you have the opportunity to share that. But thanks again. I think I'm going to step aside and let the next Mitten State poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you. And that was Dennis leading us off, calling from Michigan, the Mitten State. I've smitten myself with my own mittens before. Like, this thing's not coming. <You know. laughs>
Oh.
It's the truth. Hey, speaking of the Mitten State, let's go to George, also in the Mitten States,
right?
Hey, George, good evening.
Hey.
How are you?
Hello from another, well, I'm still in the Mitten State, and but geographically, oops, I got closer. Geographically, he is below me.
Oh.
So does that make any sense?
We figured he's in the carpal tunnel of the Mitten State.
Yeah, it's right in. I'm in the carbuncle or arthritic part of the thumb. And, anyway, that's kind of sorry. A couple of, really good things. It's good. Hard to follow Dennis with that. The thing I have, I just wrote here a couple hours ago, and it's sort of dimly related, at least about personal relationships. So what Dennis said, and it's called Should I Tell You a Lie?
Okay.
Should I lie to you with my words to impress you or to make you think I'm clever? Can I pile frills onto my facts to show my depth or to magnify my poetic endeavor? Is it treasonous to tell lies to a loved one in order to hold them closer? Are lies expected and welcomed, even trusted, to add ballast to what makes the link rosier? How vital is exact naked truth in a world of fragile feelings? Is patronizing someone a sin when their life is now spin-wheeling? Is complete candor a real value in a relationship one past its peak? Is an unfiltered mouth a tribute in a time that's already weak? Would we bear false witness to prevent a desperate man from jumping? Or trim up his self-image with false futures and glory, security, and fine tidings? Truth is wonderful. It is essential. We can't lose it. In government, it is the key element of trust. But in love and domestic conditions, an occasional white lie is a must. Hey, would I lie to you? End the poem.
I really enjoyed that one, George.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really cool.
Okay, well, just not trying to raise an ethical bar, more just humoring myself.
No, we definitely appreciate it. I think that was a great follow-up to what Dennis did, even though it was quite different. You know, I think it worked perfectly.
Yeah, Dennis knows that I have a twin brother, too, and I'm thankful that he is still with me.
Yeah.
And he's thousands of miles away, but he's still with me. So that's
no
good.
No kidding. What are the odds of that, by the way, JT?
What?
Both of our callers from Michigan
have twins, yeah.
Twin brothers.
I don't know. That's,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, George, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
okay,
pretty crazy.
Well, thanks. I may stand for the second part.
We'd love it if you would. We'll see how quickly we get there, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. Bye. All right, and that was George also calling from Michigan, giving the second spot there in our first segment.
Yeah, he's up in the thumb.
He's up.
And then Chris from Lansing is in the palm.
In the palm.
He's in the upper palm.
But portion. When you close it, you got a fist.
Yes.
You got a fist of poetry. Okay.
That was actually... Yeah, that's what
when you try to close it, it's just this really awkward hand. It's kind of like a... kind of like trying to do a duck motion.
A duck.
It's a duck of Michigan. Okay, let's go now to the UK to visit with Titus. Hello, Titus. How are you?
Good morning. Good evening.
Good morning. Yeah.
Welcome back. How was Rome? It looked beautiful.
Oh, it was beautiful. A bit too much for me, but the heat, it was.
I was going to say, yeah, it looked, I bet it was incredibly warm.
It's sad that everybody in Rome doesn't speak any English, so we really had a hard time there.
They're full of foreigners over there. No?
I think they've been told to. I mean, there's so many tourists there. I think they're just getting fed up with us.
You think they're becoming more and more like the French, huh?
It's best to say we don't speak English.
Yeah,
but
fair enough.
We had the Pope as our next door neighbor, so therefore. We saw all this business all the time, so it really, I think it's just nice to close the curtain, so to speak, and just put the air conditioning on.
I bet. Well, by the way, I should tell you, I'm making plans in the next probably 6 months, 7 months to come out and visit London for a few days. So if and if you're available, I'd love to meet up with you at some point, but I'll contact you privately.
Yeah, one Sunday, okay.
All right, sounds good. Anyway, sure. I'll give you the stage and let you kind of share what you'd like to. I don't want to keep you going.
No, it's fine. I mean, as you can imagine, the sun has got to my head, so I'm not in a writing mood at the moment. But this is one, a long time ago, I read this one on your show. It's a terse rima. I didn't think of it at the time, but it's reminding me of the Song of Songs, Solomon's poem. It's called Dawn's Abundance. I think with the classic form, people do remember these works of mine. And I think to myself, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? But I'm in the middle of re-editing many works, and I won't publish until I feel that it's word perfect. This is one that I've hopefully finished and hopefully word perfect. It's called Dawn's Abundance, the Song of Tithonus. It is a true tale of long-distance love. The terse rima. Absorbed, it seems, feels love's lustrous keeping of heartstrings, murmuring as yet to bestow the welcome to include why endless sleeping. Until that is light, it would appear low upon the horizon. Godliness spreads, love's enchantment, praise in ample glow. Slight proceeds to lift, once raised, our heads draw from reckoning. Love's dream exhibits, they glisten cognitive rays, sewing fine threads. The opening of the curtain peers through slits, active on both sides, bright enough to wake up beyond nigh on where her lover sits. Who will follow, should let nothing undertake scrutiny, shalt observe so far from here. Let's not part daydreams with all this denial. With clearance there is yet disregard for worn, far from impassable, love's labour is on trial. What helps to raise, whose hopes include dawn, gains new heights, a sphere, it circles the globe, for which she brings immortal feelings born. Goddess, the dawn has brightened, she'll probe, love shall likewise continue to do so. Warmth as a fine line, wanton passion strobe. The highest noon, it will let you maintain tow. One serves to bring the vast age and abundance given time, true as one mortal cannot though. Sifted vapours for whom gaze soothed radiance, thence ailing myths can douse, though God, O Zeus, you've asked then, given our short-sighted views, the shore's verisimilitude is where guidance drifts, though parody has embraced some wonderful news, given the efreet, I sense that it wholly lifts an age thus keeps disenthrall away. It empowers omphalos beginnings. It works its major gifts. I languish, wait upon foraging, though it's ours. The sense of time, our picturing the love scene, it endures the many submontane long hours. These affairs of the heart are like a glass screen. Each see-through step exists to show they save sequence relative to change that each are seen. And choice holds no alignment if what I gave was gloomier than the first, a second is slave. Until the end of time it is what I am waiting for. Until the end of time it would then be my own. Death will lead me beyond any reach you saw. I include the full length, the warmth of gaze alone. The dawn may heighten any hope to include mine. Faith holds abundance to shed what light I own. An inkling of thought has identified this forecast. It's then when I concede defeat, the facts remain constant bright. She has effectively served at last. It's as if my immortal being has followed the pain, getting used to love's discomfort. She will forage long into the night to sleep beside, make joy contain. Between us lies abundance, for which I encourage. Love's longevity will argue that one's youth will remain. End of poem.
Beautiful, beautiful piece. And
thank you.
I can definitely hear the Song of Solomon in that as well. I mean, it's just beautiful.
That people will read a poem like Song of Solomon. You cannot really envisage the scene, but that is one man in his bedroom all day looking through the window for his love.
That's
until sunset.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting because as a Catholic school teacher, I get asked a lot what my favorite part of the Bible is, and I can never answer them. But as far as writing goes, the Song of Solomon, I think, is one of the heads and tails above everything else.
Well, I think one book is high above that, and that's Hester, which I put my wife in that place.
Really?
So, of course, that's a high praise indeed.
Wonderful. Titus, thank you so much, and thanks for getting up early and calling us. We really missed you, and we appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Wonderful. Goodbye. And that was Titus, fresh back from the continent.
I'm keep going. Just keep going.
He was there. I know exactly what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Colin from the UK. We appreciate him back. We did miss him last week, I think.
Yes.
I think we all did. All right. Now, we're going to head to someone who's got a message. He's got a message for us. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
We're fine. We're all fine.
We're all fine.
Yes, we are.
All right. We are Borg. Okay. Anyway, so
I am Groot.
You're Groot. Didn't you die in the last movie? Come on now.
Hey now. Spoilers.
Oh,
it's all.
How many months has this thing been out now?
Couple.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
He's like, great. I haven't seen it yet. Way to go. No. all right. So, Jim, what do you have for us? I know you told me about this poem here, but I want to let you frame it.
Well, this past Saturday, I was watching Mockingjay Part 2, and I was towards the end, and I was inspired to write what is my 100th poem for 2018.
Nice. All right.
Well done, and congrats on that. That's good.
I feel like doing the Carlton.
And that explains the music you heard, everybody, when he came on the air. Congratulations, James. Way to go.
Thank you. So this one is titled, After the Primrose Died. in hunger to end the games, the killing fields of our children. Everything catching fire turns to ash in the blasting heat of war. As the snow dies with the end of the winter of tyranny, we take stock in our gains, our losses, pondering what is real and what is not. End of poem.
Wow. So an uplifting one for your 100th. No, I really thought that was a powerful piece, Jim.
It was the only title I couldn't, the only phrase I couldn't work in there, it didn't seem to fit, was Mockingjay.
Yeah, it is a little tough to fit that one in.
But yeah, it's like, well, it's, there was that one, that interaction between PETA and Katniss, where he'd ask her, said, what is it real or not real? And that's kind of for the end line.
Yeah.
And trying to work in present snow into the whole thing. And it's just like, as the snow dies.
I've got a, JT, have you seen all those movies?
No.
I saw the first one. And I haven't even gone into seeing the rest, but I've actually, over time, I've heard they're better and better and better. I'm one of those people who, right around that time, the dystopian YA stuff was really kind of turning me off. But
I had a hard time with the first movie.
Did it remind you of the French Revolution?
No, totally different reasonings.
'Cause we know that's JT's pet peeve.
That's right.
Jim, is the French Revolution. For some reason.
At least it wasn't the Spanish Inquisition.
Well, that.
Well, the best part about that is I could surprise him.
It was 1974.
But if he didn't like the Spanish Inquisition, I could get so much mileage out of jumping out of places. Nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition.
That he could.
among our weapons are such elements as surprise and a fanatical devotion to the Pope. Okay. Anyway, I'm done. And Jim, thank you. Congratulations on your 100th poem. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Keep at it, okay?
Oh, I am. I think I'm up to 106 now.
Good for you,
awesome.
Man. Good for
well
you.
Done.
I love that. All right. Well, we'll talk to you during the return engagement, okay?
Yes, I will be here, and I will be here.
Wonderful.
Well, wonderful. Both of you. All right. We'll talk to you then.
I am Groot.
And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, Groot calling from Pennsylvania.
There we go.
With the 100th poem of the year so far. That's awesome. That's one thing I've really learned. That's one of the reasons I feel like that book a quarter thing that I mentioned earlier is possible, is that doing this podcast every day, it's normal for me now. It's like my bedtime routine. So you can see when I put it up is when I go to bed.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
You can, and so it's part of my bedtime routine, and it's my easy way to communicate immediately. You know, I can just say it. I put it into my phone wherever I am, and it's sent off. And for me, that's really cool, but also just doing it day after day after day after day. I started compiling all the written versions of that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm at like 400 pages, man.
Oh, that's great.
It's insane, you know? So I'm not saying I'm going to put that out necessarily yet, but you're just creating stuff every single day, and things just start happening. And I love that. I love that momentum. All right, let's go now. Speaking of someone who understands momentum, let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
All right, let's go now. Speaking of someone who understands momentum, let's go to Barbara in Connecticut.
Hello.
Hello, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Let's see, my week is always so crazy. This week was particularly crazy and just full of stuff. And then somebody asked me, just because I don't know, I needed more stuff in my life, somebody asked me to do a duet poem with him. And it was bad enough doing it with Tony because he lives in London. This person lives in India and decided he wanted to do a duet poem with me. Mm-hmm. So I wrote the first part and he's writing the second part. So this is the the first part of a duet poem. I don't know what the second part's going to be like, but this is the first part. So it's unfinished as a poem, but for me, it's a finished poem. So see what you think. It's called True Love because that was what he wanted to write about, love. That was the theme, so here goes. True love comes from the crowd and taps you on the shoulder. Then suddenly your world is filled with your lover's eyes, colored in the nuances of his glances, and all you see is bathed in the golden light of his caresses as they open up vistas you have yet to explore, and your whole being is riveted on him. Familiar scenes become rainbows of delight when you stroll with your lover through your world, and you smile as these sensations bathe your brain in the joy you have found in your fingers enfolded in his hand. His touch creates reverberations. He is the stone skipped into the water of your body. Ever-widening rings extend within. They encompass every part of you as the body welcomes this new visitor, and each day you find new delights. As this wonder brightens your vision and you enjoy the newfound beauty of the flecks of color in these pools as you gaze mesmerized into those eyes that have stealthily encompassed your entire world until there is only him and you are lost in the splendor of this magic. End poem.
I think that's a strong, strong start.
Well, you know, this one came out of me. What can I say?
Well, where else is it going to come from, Barbara?
I don't know, but he writes so differently from me, I can't imagine what the second part is going to be like, but that is my first part.
That's the beautiful part about collaboration, right? I mean, it's good of you to be able to say yes and just kind of let go and let it happen.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it and, you know, just see what happens.
Yeah, that's all we can do, right? All we can do, unexpected things.
Unexpected. And that's what happens in my life. You know, like anybody listen to my radio show saw the unexpectedness of that experience.
Yeah.
It was, you know, Michael, sometimes radio just comes out and bites you, you know, in the backside. And this time it did because when I picked up the phone to call them, I knew there was kind of static, but I thought maybe it'll change. But when I got into my program, all my guests had static on the line when they talked. Mm-hmm. So I could barely hear them. You know, it was like a bongo drum.
Really?
JT probably knows what that is. When someone's speaking, because they speak and you hear, when they're speaking. So nobody could really understand anything anybody was saying. And so I was trying to interview my guest, and he was being very brave about it and everything. And I realized that we couldn't possibly hear each other. And then Dennis was in the chat room, and he was trying to hear it, and he said he couldn't hear it. And Cynthia was on the line, and she couldn't hear. And so I said, well, why don't you hang up and try again? So they both did, and it didn't work. So finally, I just had to say, well, the hell with it. And I hung up, and I closed the show, thinking I could start it again, but no. Blog Talk Radio would not allow me or them in. So I had like a 20-minute show that you know, is half finished. So at least everybody decided to reschedule.
Well, that's good. But, yeah, that's a big thing.
But it was really, really annoying. Oh, my God. And I know how you might have felt, you know, the same way. It's like, oh, my God. And Blog Talk Radio wasn't answering me because they'd answer in a day. And so I should have my answer by Monday of why this happened. You know, it's like, what the hell? They used to have a chat right away where you could just chat with them. And anything that was wrong would be fixed. But now, no, that doesn't happen anymore as in anything in this world.
You know what the and Barbara, I completely can understand, you know, because obviously we deal with the same sort of stuff. you know, what this show is sounding like right now, it's like a political talk show with someone calling in and talking about the things they don't like, except we're discussing audio broadcast platforms.
Yes, I guess it must be boring to everyone else.
It's like we're getting dangerously close to a local public radio show.
Exactly. I'm getting off the phone now,
Barbara,
Michael.
Barbara, thank you. We'll talk to you during return engagement.
I will call back for the return engagement.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Okay.
And why don't I have a song?
Well, you know what? That was a whole pre-worked out thing. I think there's some money exchanged hands. I think there also is
really?
A promise of you know, look, one day we'll
why.
Do a favor.
Okay.
One day we'll
all
do
right.
We'll ask you for a favor, and you know that day may never come, but you know that's kind of what's happening.
Okay, I see the bent of this whole thing. All right.
We're going straight organized crime. This is how we launched the whole family as a poetry show
exactly.
on Friday nights.
Okay.
Thanks, Barbara.
All right, thank you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Whew. All right. JT, are you okay that I let our business plan kind of spill out onto the interwebs?
I guess.
Okay. Do you like that discussion of audio broadcasting platforms?
Yeah. We know those struggles.
Oh,
all too well.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right. So, it is now the end of the first segment, which means it is time for us to tell you and to unveil the first three clues for our July 2018 Poet of the Month. Clue number one. Taught French to Napoleon. Clue number two. Blind to all but the future. Clue number three. B method helped to see. And those are your three clues, the first three clues for the July 2018 Poet of the Month. Cool. Sometimes I look myself in the... What?
All right, cool.
Well, it's actually, yeah, that's it's something funny. That we've done for a long time, but John Oliver's kind of hijacked on his show where something big will happen, and he just goes, cool. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's hijacked
true,
it.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get ready and go into our second segment, 720-240-9766. We need five more unique callers.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Christine?
Yes, Michael.
You know what you get when you throw four chickens in a bathtub?
Pure poultry.
That's right. World Poetry Open Mic.
That's nice.
You know what's funny? I've actually played that drop for some of the kids that I teach.
Yeah.
They didn't laugh. They didn't think it was funny at all.
Well, of course not.
They just looked at me like this.
Yeah, well, you know why?
Why?
Because it sounds like a dad joke.
It is totally a dad joke.
And that's
by the
why
way,
they give you that look.
I got to be honest. I think dad jokes are hilarious.
They are hilarious.
In fact, almost all the jokes that are funny
are
actually
typically
are
dad jokes.
Typically
yeah.
dad jokes.
Yeah.
I mean... Really, you could classify a lot of Monty Python as dad jokes.
Yeah.
So, I have no problem with this. No problem. I'm all about dad jokes.
This is good.
Some would say, I'm not a dad.
No.
Does that mean I'm appropriating culturally if I'm using dad jokes?
No, I don't
I'm
think
I'm very
that's
much
what
against
it means.
Cultural appropriation as long as it's my culture not being appropriated. Other than that... I have
no,
we could go into a long
it's
thing.
All good.
Maybe
you're
that's
all
a
good.
Podcast episode. That's... I believe that we and as long as it's done respectfully, we borrow from
yeah.
things. I don't think any of us end up being musical or poetic racists, if that's what it means. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So it's a big can of worms nowadays, isn't it?
It is.
Not with our crowd though, I don't think.
No.
Let's go to Philip in Kentucky.
We're gonna scare
Hey Philip. How's it going?
Hey. Michael, how are you?
Doing well. All I heard was the word cybernetics and then a surprise dash for the phone.
Well, you know, I have my science fiction friend here, and we were just...
I love it.
I don't know, talking about, you know, early stories that we started writing, and it's that we're just we're having a good time. How are you?
I love it. I'm doing really, really well. And I, you know, you reached out to me on a day where it was all kinds of some crazy stuff was going on with my extended family, and I appreciate you being there for that. And I apologize for not responding. I was right in the middle of it.
No. You're no worries, Michael. I'm here to do your bidding, sir. You know.
Well, we appreciate you. We definitely don't see it as that. So
right.
So thank
right.
you, buddy.
Well, I got to say, I'm really just pleased you had time to take this call, sir, because I understand if I heard this rumor that you're going to be writing, you're going to try to write 4 books a year.
Yes, one a quarter.
Yes, one a quarter, and then over the span of 25 years, I think that comes to a nice round
100.
Number of 100 novels.
Yeah, 100 books. They won't all be novels. They won't all be – some will be
right,
nonfiction.
Books.
Yeah.
I'm glad you gave yourself, you know, some
wiggle
room.
Well, I figure – I mean, I'm not going to want to write – I feel like I'm not going to want to write nonfiction my entire life, and I'm not going to
sure.
want to write – fiction my entire life. So I might as well, you know, as long as I keep it within my wheelhouse, I think I can do some fun work, you know, and I'm going to go after quality through quantity. I think that's the goal.
Yeah. Hey, no. I mean, and who knows what happens when you start doing that? I mean, you know, I don't know what I'm really saying there, but I know that there's so much more depth that you don't know about. I mean, that's my trust in the subconscious.
Yeah.
And all I know is that when I started writing some kind of quasi-poetic things when I was 8, you know, have surely improved,
yeah.
you know, however many hundred of pages later. So, and it's a wonderful addiction, too, and they don't arrest you for it, which is another great thing.
That's exciting, yeah.
Isn't it? Well, write your heart out, sir. I'm very happy for you.
Oh, thank you,
and
sir.
And I will get to – you're very welcome. And I will get to my piece, and it may fall flat on its face. I finished it today, but I just – you know, I kind of want to just hear how it sounds out loud, and I appreciate your patience. And here we go. The title, Exponential Angles of Incidence. Am certain somewhere in this multiverse, another identical I asks itself verbatim questions, though all the answers fail equally, derived from fallible sources. Mirrors we each avoid with chagrin, fearful of outrageous superstitions. The disgust apparent on our faces, noticed right before we turn away from our reversed mimicry. Our meager residences, the Spartan rooms we've inhabited with gazes at dusk blooms, undoubtedly observed at a hotel named after Hilbert's ad infinitum. Your distant whisper overheard about Gemini's brother being mourned above the berm where divides our shadows incalculable, severed by separate spaces and a different time. I riposte, it's merely Janus staring straight into our eyes, witnessed simultaneously. A confusion for you and or I, waiting between revisions, seated, asleep, or aimlessly on sore peripatetic feet, counting breaths and rhythms, secretly anxious for some reply sent from another dimension. And there it is.
That was a cool piece. I thought it really, I could really hear the wordplay at work there.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome, man.
I appreciate that, Michael, and I look forward to hearing the next poet get on the mic and rock it.
All right. And, Philip, I'll be in touch with you. I'd love to hear about what you're working on and work out a time to connect and get together.
Oh, absolutely. Michael, I'm always here for you, sir,
wonderful.
And I really appreciate it. You're a wonderful guy. And, JT, I'm so proud of you. You schoolboy, you. I'm so happy you've gone back to school. I'm so impressed.
Well, thank you.
You guys make me blush and so happy, and so cheers to you both.
Hey, cheers, Philip. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And that was Philip Kahn from Kentucky starting off our second segment. And we only have three callers this time.
Yeah.
So we've already just, Phillip's done once, now we only have two. We're going to go to our second caller, and that's Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary.
Here I am, sirs.
How does it feel to have had us be hotter than where you are yesterday?
Like once in a million.
Right, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
Yeah.
To be fair, we tied the record for the hottest day here on record. So.
Yeah.
And what was the temperature, sir?
105.
Yeah, you know, but it's a dry heat.
Oh, you were a little chilly yesterday. We got 113 a number of days in a row here already.
Oh, I am so sorry, yeah. Mary.
It's hot as hell in a handbag.
Yeah.
I don't have any handbags. So I just live in Nevermind.
It's okay. They
don't get one because that's where hell shows up. Don't get handbags.
No, I'll start beating people with it. I'll start beating them on the head.
Is that what it is when a woman gets, or not even a woman, just someone with a handbag gets angry? Suddenly there's hell in the handbag and you just start hitting people? I never thought of it like that. That's amazing.
You cannot put a woman's handbag in anyone's hands at 113.
That's true. It's kind of like Thor's hammer. It's really... It's amazing.
A plunger.
Yeah.
It'll go anywhere. All right. Enough of the...
A plunger versus a handbag. Mary, who wins?
I like it plunging on in. You know, why just sither when you can go full force?
Fair enough.
I scribbled a little bit, and so I'm going to do my scribble. I'm going to do it to just... some background noise because I named my scribble I See You as a Phoenix in C minor. Driving north on the 101. I catch you driving like a summer's open sun. Autumn days were songs of you, shining sweet in all your armor. Baby, yes, lay before me fair. I share with limbs attached and reach for you, still in the night, where you linger near my hand. Come back to life again. Beloved acceptance, please, now without the implications of moral turpitude. Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Thanks. Maybe people took a little nap. I think it was meditative even for me.
No, I think it sounded wonderful. It actually came across the phone really, really well. And I love you, and this is meant as a compliment. Your piano playing is really improving too.
I thank you for all of that. I think it helps to have people that love me, helps to have good food. And my daughter's around to make me eat good food and make all that vegan crap, good food, and eat it. And now I feel better.
Good.
I'm going to start writing about all that vegan stuff.
All right, vegan. That's what we're looking for.
To the next poet, thank you very much.
Thank you. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, playing a wonderful piece. Enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Now we have one more caller in this segment. Let's go now to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
Yes.
You're now on the air. How are you?
I'm doing fairly well.
Good.
I have a little problem with one of my ears. It seems like it's clogged up my hearing. I don't know. I don't know if I should go and get irrigation because I can't seem to get it to open up. So I might be talking
about it. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's make it easy. Let's make it easy so you don't have to worry so much about it. Let's give you the floor, okay? And then we'll talk after.
Okay, if I'm talking lopsided, that's because I'm only talking out of one ear.
No problem.
It's one of those ones where it's like I don't know if we should laugh at that.
I understood her though.
No, I understood her too. I totally get it.
So.
Okay, this is the one I sent to you to read. So do you want me to read it or do you think you'll find it?
Oh no.
I'll read something else.
I honestly, Mama, I've looked through our email. I haven't found it at all. I don't know what happened. So
I sent it from Google. I didn't send it from my email, but I sent it from Google to your email.
Huh.
And Google should have sent it because I put the poem in there. The only other thing is I might have done wrong is I put the address to the poem that's on Facebook instead of putting the whole poem, writing the whole poem out. Do you think that could be the problem?
It could have been. I mean, I'm still not seeing really anything.
From me.
Yeah. Still not seeing anything, period. So, because if I had seen a link, I at least would have been able to figure out what the issue is. But, yeah, at any rate, sorry.
That's right. Okay, I'll send you another one, or I'll send you this one back, because I really wanted to hear you read this. I just wrote it. I guess you can kind of figure out what's all going on, which you already probably know what's all going on, but still, I have to write about what's going on. So, and the name of the piece is called What Do Good Men Do? What do good men do? Should we call him a man, a demon, or a pervert? Should we pull out our detectors for predator alert? A man without sagacity, impaired from his veracity, creating insanity, a threat to earth and humanity. And has the audacity to pile up children to capacity, creating more insanity, a threat to earth and humanity. Has the audacity to be smiling while piling up children, babies snapped from mommy's arms, crying for their daddy, children stuffed in crates, all due to now in jails filled to overcapacity. What do good men do? Do we only watch and do nothing as salacious, contaminates thrones while sitting in the seat of dignity, threatens integrity. Can we at least chant? God save our morality. Can we at least chant? God save our children. In peace.
I enjoyed that one a lot.
Good piece.
Yeah. That's something. I think a timely piece, and I'll be happy to read that for you when I get it. I'll record it and send it back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course. Enjoyable piece. It's an enjoyable piece. It's not something that I enjoy that we even have to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it needs to be cool.
Oh. Hell yes, it does. Yeah. Man. All right, Mama. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Very welcome.
All right. We'll talk to you during the return engagement, hopefully.
Okay.
All right. And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, rounding out our second set of poetry for the evening. Now, JT, are you about ready?
No.
Okay. I'm going to let you get ready.
Okay, now I'm ready.
Okay, cool. So we're going to go now into the return engagement. That means anybody who wants to read, anybody who has already read, everybody can call back in and share again if you'd like. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
The left turn in that song, man.
I love that left turn.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code.
Now, what's great is that video.
Yeah.
At the very end has Patton Oswalt, and it's the oddball conspiracy theory of lizard people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That live amongst us. So great.
I I think if anybody is a lizard person, Patton Oswalt is probably a prime candidate. All right, so let's go now to return engagement. We've got six great callers lined up. Let's go first to Barbara in Connecticut.
To return engagement, we've got six great callers lined up. Let's go first to Barbara in Connecticut.
What's up, Barbara?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Do you remember if I read Detention Central last week?
You know. JT, do you remember this? I'm trying to place it. I'm not sure.
I think you did.
You think she did?
Yes. Wait.
People lined up as if for a trip?
Yes.
Yet it was not an airport?
Yep.
Uh-oh. All right, I have to find another poem.
You can read that one again. You can read that. Barbara, read that one again.
Okay.
It's okay.
I think I have one I didn't read. Okay. Maybe I didn't, but whatever. Roadblocks,
okay.
Both inside and outside your head.
Sounds good.
Good.
Okay. Roadblocks, both inside and outside your head. As you go through the ins and outs of life, there may be barriers to what you want to do. Sometimes these are from outside of ourselves, and other times our own minds create roadblocks to stop the task from proceeding, actually forcing us physically to veer away from our desires. Every block from outside could trigger one inside of our minds as we swallow whole the assessments of people who don't know us in all facets of our lives, but they still judge you on the one side they see. And you go by their warped idea of who you really are. We adopt these unjust decisions and bring them to our own council of judgment in our mind, where they are laid out with our own prejudicial thinking, clouding the result, and inevitably these decisions become the truth for us. Would you buy a piece of meat without seeing at least two sides of it, or choose a shirt without seeing the back of it? We only show our front side to most people, and so they can't know the other sides of us. They only see the side we decide to feature for the world, and they must make the decisions on the information. The inability to know the other three sides of us creates a false identity which most people must see. And from this distorted ID, the few who hold the purse strings to our life can wreak havoc on it or continue to work hand in hand with you to master the tasks of your work. In the gray haze of a pending decision by us to break this cycle and find a way out of this distorted view, the qualities of our solution appear to be insufficient in the blue light of evening. And yet in the harsh, cold, golden light of morning, we dig deeper and find strength from our inner voice, propelling us forward, only to be stopped by the negative engine of those thoughts. Sometimes, though, this cycle can be broken, and a person can gain more confidence in their worth, pushing back the naysaying molecules deposited by the out-of-focus decisions of those who know not the you who has talents and worth. It is important to find the truth and tell yourself it is truth speaking during times when accolades are being given to you by your friends. And you must fight so you will break the barricades your untrusting mind has set. It's okay to drive into the cones in your brain. End poem.
That was a really enjoyable one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I wrote that for my daughter. I think I didn't get to read it on the show, but I wrote that for my daughter because of, you know, what had happened, roadblocks. Put up roadblocks, and I think of them as cones. And, you know, they're just something that people do. They struggle. They put up these roadblocks that nobody can see, but you know they're there. And so because of them, you can't really see the real you. And, you know, no one really knows the other parts of you. So if you don't show them to anybody, then, you know, they're lost, everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a great point, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the thing I always kind of meditate on is the idea of, and I share more with you guys on the show than normal, but the idea of the duck on the water or a swan, it looks really peaceful, but we're missing all of the mad paddling and stuff happening down under the water. You don't have to show, you know?
Yeah, that's it. You don't show everything that you are to everyone.
Right.
You just show your best side. And, you know, it's just like sometimes people show too much to people. They don't have to know everything about you.
I've been arrested so many times for showing too much to people. Apparently, my best side is walking away in handcuffs. That's totally not true.
No, seriously, I'm going to get off the phone because
this is taking a hard right turn. Yeah, no,
behind me.
Thank
don't
you,
drive
Barbara.
Into the cones.
I'll do my best. All right.
Okay, Michael, great show, and looks like it's going to be an early show too.
Yeah, it's kind of a light night, but that's okay. And then we'll be back in 2 weeks' time, and it'll be great.
That's good because I have to go to the theater tomorrow night and see, you know, the guy who's in Chicago Med.
Yes.
Who plays the doctor in Chicago Med, Colin Donnell.
Uh huh.
He's in Songs for a New World.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's a play, and we're going to go see it. So.
Well, you'll have to let us know how it is.
I will definitely. Okay, so all you guys, JT, wonderful job tonight, and Michael will talk, and everybody else, great work. See you next week. Oh, the week after, right?
Week after.
Enjoy your wonderful vacation, whatever it is.
All
okay.
Right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara Kahn from Connecticut leading off our return engagement segment. All right. Mr. JT, I'm letting you get set up. Now we're going to be heading to Titus in the UK. Good morning again, Titus.
Good morning. The anticipation. I put when Barbara was talking, I didn't realize she was still speaking. I put the show on silent. I'm thinking, where are they?
Yeah, we're just taking a while, you know.
Okay.
Sorry, Barbara. I wasn't meaning to hurry up.
I don't think so. I doubt you take it that way. Anyway, okay. What do you have for us this time?
Another re-edit I'm delving back now to the late 70s, early 80s. I'm trying to get that out of my head, that period of my life when a honeysuckle in my garden, it was just hanging on to dear life. And I guess that was a little sign to me that I really should, you know, get out and start fresh. So it was called Lonicera periclinum, which is a very complicated name, but I've just shortened it to Vinia dulce, which is a sweet vine and a love so rare. And it has a heading from, unlike Solomon, this is Ezekiel. I made it beautiful with abundant branches, the envy of all the trees of Eden in the garden of God. Lost in the prestigious world of small secrets, oh so rare, how exquisite these delicate matters. Note love gestures do include refinement. It lets indulgence escape notice what merely scatters. Convincing me that with all the caring she gives, encourages me for the sake of others, as she herself reminds me the good given, a showered garden, alas, Eden, has unduly charmed a restored wealth. Purely to sustain faith for the reasons and affection exists that, whilst the day is sprightly, I am shown reminding them that there is an endless selection, iridescent to an old town, past lives we own. Croydon has condoned the reopening of the mind, letting go of the past if what we foraged at last yesterday is reckoned willing to leave it behind. Moments when your parents, they have amassed, enduring all emotions sought of a loving kind, noted for their labours, love shares a rare supply, united with what's heavenly the earth cannot find, more to reaching them, they've set their sights high. Honesty, bearing truth of love's tranquility, sifting orbs in caress to each other, obviously to drifting nonchalant in ways, close at heart, with this aim, endeared to be love for what reasons now lifting yonder. Fragrance can for the time being proclaim something of the years I can no doubt make pretty. Uncertainty features the strength to let us through. Caution to extend a smile if what seems an eternity kind heart. You keep sweetness fulfilled like virtue. Liaise without thought to encourage love keeping. Effortless regarding dreams they offer a light sleeping. Soothing to the point of celebrating this great day. Woman of means to include your laughter until every day is as beautiful as the fragrance to array exceeding worth to flower late. The memory will tonight under moonlight sate togetherness may. Spells do scatter as far as your dreams may wish, unbiased heart. If what is most appealing though, erstwhile stars, delight indulgence fills embellish. End of poem.
It was a beautiful read, and it was a beautiful piece.
Yes, there's a dreamlike or spiritual thought in there somewhere.
It feels like that early morning reverie. It's the whole reason I try to get up early to write, and it's just kind of this kind of a spiritual kind of just reverie. I guess that's the best word for it, and
You speak of continually writing books. I think I'm small. Fry over that, because what I'm doing is I'm re-editing poems in the same manner that you're writing books. So small proportion compared with what you're doing.
No, but it's the same sort of thing. You know, that's just I feel it's the same sort of thing.
But strangely, the first read that I've read tonight, I think that would be pretty good as a sequel. You know, it's kind of like like with these epic poems, you put mix and match these poems together, and you think that will fit exactly after the one that I read before. So something like that, I would probably write a book, epic poem.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Titus,
thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Titus calling from the UK with another really beautiful piece. Man. So you can tell there's that early morning piece in Titus's work. Now we're going to go to Sinister in Missouri for something probably completely different. Hey, Sinister.
Hi, good evening. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. I hate this not having tablet thing. I can't hear when I'm on hold. It won't allow me when I'm on mute.
Oh no, sorry to hear that. Well, how about this? I'm gonna I'll give you the floor. You take it and run with it, okay?
All right. This is Reap the Stone. Time escapes slowly from the mantle clock, like seeping water, weeping on every moment. My eyes penetrate the tangled mess. She's gone. Our fallen angels permitted safe passage in their wake, disappearing like late-season mannequins defaced. Cynically now, these notions twist sunsets into the abyss. Did you ever find your reason, precious? Loop me in. No dream foretold love so deep, despite your callous sin. I hid and shook at sink's counter, vomiting for weeks. Not a scent or picture sits, cracks on dividing walls. Still the episode haunts me, you, the neighbor, lust alone, scrubbing soiled stains of your memory. I can't stop what I didn't start, inertia and demise. Shall I proceed the dull acreate, disinfecting tide? Solutions ingested under smoky lights. Corner bar, trashing the drunkards, you screwed with militant brutality. This burning disdain of footed mouth rhetoric slurred besieges the punch-drunk clarity of goggled eyes. Agitating my social repugnance like fuck tapping at night, slack fingers and fading portals to clean territorial explosions. The vault, keeping insanity contained, darting feverishly mad through crowded streets, fights, shrieking singing buffoons, constituting violence inside, jumping off point for evil to consume city blood, eventide. Initiating my own personal hell, curtailed even inside, an amicable asylum of lunatic brain quells, firing just shy. To relinquish vanity-bound and pedestrian eyes, signs lost amongst ill-tongued prophets and bureaucratic swine. Meanwhile, Hitchitsville and the impoverished and acidic rain breathe in raw sewage, rampant overpopulation and decline. Yes, I'm nothing, a monster, viable enough to even be alive. How the despise in me reflects in every passerby, these plastic jet-set faces and pixelated waistlines, knotted and bowed like some cotillion nightmare breathing. These parasitic, dumbfounded canvases looking at steel gray 6mm of sepulture calling, tepid firing line. This land of ambient mercy dying, walking cloaked reaper eye, that caw of isolation under blood moon rage, death cries. Visions flow tantalizing my commercialized mind. 200 versions to bring seductive virtual escapades. I download my libido invigorator to spunk my youthful eroticism. There's little bravado left in my delusional point of view. These pistons hammering are shot from the hip side. As pleasure ends in destruction, the repetitive you fade in, swirling out of my life, dancing a lost incantation of derelicts. This overpowering, stagnant breeze of deception remist my pockets. My belly are empty, chambers, hollow point shells. Shame is on you, precious. Becoming me, this stain won't lift. 65 bottles and counting, my liver palpitates sickly. Monkey am I, shining banana stupidity in your starlight insanity. Plaguing the world in your sycophant hue, vomiting lullabies, I've crawled amongst the deepest bowels, life's most speculant shit, nauseously hunting. Rancid is your essence and red reaper sense. You created the ends, love. Time to come to grips. And peace.
So everything's going good then? No. Sinister, that was great, man. We miss you. We miss you. We miss that energy and the intensity you bring.
I appreciate it. Yeah, life has been getting in my way.
I understand, man. Yeah, no worries.
Glad to get in tonight and get one through and hear a couple. So
we're happy you can, man. Thank you once again.
Nice to be amongst family again. Love you guys.
All right, love you too. Talk to you soon. And that was Sinister. Give us a call from Missouri. Dropping some heavy energy Awesome. All right. Let's go now to Jim in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jim.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Dude, how do you know what I say every time I get out of the shower? Just throw the curtain back and yell that to nobody. All right, what do you have for us this time?
Well, this was inspired, of all things, a wrestling match.
Okay.
Well, do you know the last WWE pay-per-view, Money in the Bank?
Oh,
JT would know better than me. Yeah.
But I know.
Well,
go ahead.
The end of Asuka's match for the championship.
Okay.
She got confronted by someone dressed just like her, had the mask, her coat, and she had that look of terror on her face.
Ooh, okay.
And I put the link to the video in the chat room if anyone wants to watch it.
Okay.
So this was inspired by that incident, and it's titled Doppelganger. Hardened in the river of blood baptism, the warrior unrivaled in war. Fear fills his fearless eyes as his familiar face stares back at him across the field of battle. End of poem.
No, cool piece, Jim. Yeah. Jim, I have to tell you a story really quick, if it's okay, JT.
Go for it.
I was 10 years old. Actually, no, I was 11 years old. Going through chemotherapy in the hospital. I had just dropped something like 60 pounds, had a fever, was really, really sick, and I found out that there was a WWF event coming through town and that I somehow was going to be able to meet Hulk Hogan. And the doctors told me, you can't leave unless your fever goes down. So me being me, I just dropped my body temperature really fast and got them to say, well, your temperature's gone down. And so I left. I went there, and I got to meet him. The man's arms were bigger than my head. And he was incredibly sweet. He was really, really an amazing guy. I have some pictures of it. I'll see if I can find some. And then I went back to the hospital. I think I stayed another 3 weeks. I was so sick. But it was really a great event. And so I don't follow professional wrestling anymore, really. I just kind of life gets in the way of that, I guess. But at the same time, I really can enjoy a lot of what it's there for. Those guys work so hard. They're not given the credit for how hard they work.
Definitely. Well, it's you bring that up. I got two things. One, I need to ask you, what you gonna do, brother?
I have no answer.
And the other one, they're gonna be doing a SummerSlam Heatwave tour.
Okay.
And they're gonna be in Hershey. And myself, Danielle, and her daughter Ray are gonna be going to see it.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
And hopefully, we'll be able to meet Asuka because Danielle really loves Asuka.
Ah, cool.
And I know I sent this poem and another one that was inspired by this one about Asuka. Sent it to her through Facebook.
Cool.
Because I thought she might like them because I did the doppelganger and then I did Muse for a Minute. Because you're thinking about the first poem.
Yeah.
It would be neat to meet them.
That would be really cool. Yeah, I hope you get the chance to.
Definitely, definitely. I know Danielle would just go gaga if she met Asuka. It's her new favorite. Her favorite used to be Lita, and now it's Asuka.
Mm. Okay.
Wow. Well, I hope so. You'll have to let us know if it happens.
All right.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much for everything.
All right. Yeah, thank you, and thank you for having me.
You got it. Anytime.
Good honor.
Goodbye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, land of
enchantment.
Well, I mean, sure, if you want to assign another state's name to it, that's cool.
See? Yeah. Hey, Mama, call back. Sorry.
That's called conditioning. By the way, everybody, JT alerted me to this show. If you have Netflix, check it out. Darren Brown, Miracle. Great, great show on Netflix.
Great and kind of sad all at the same time.
He gives away all of my sparring tricks.
It does.
All of the martial arts sparring tricks with when he's doing the coin thing in the hands. All those tricks work. All of them.
It's true.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of years learning that, and he gave them away.
It's okay.
Come on. All right, so we're waiting for Mama here to call. So this next week, oh, there she is. Never mind. Perfect. I'm not even going to get into it. All right. Hello, Mama.
Yep.
You are on the air.
Okie dokie. Right. I am going to do a freestyle, but I was a freestyle until I wrote it. Now it's a freestyle, right? Y'all going to see Mama do some bars.
All right, that's what we want.
Up in here. I want it to freestyle. No mimic, no gimmick. I said no mimic, no gimmick. Off the top, whatever I say will not be edited. I'm spending my words, no credit, no debit. Just a mental exercise to quicken my wits. Oh, lyrics never die, old poets never quit. I'm here to finalize the beginning and finish the ending with the messages I'm sending. Making it plain so all will get it. I have a purpose to fulfill, so I brush up my skills. Whatever I say will be off the top, off the dome. That we must face things beyond the scope of those who use dope. So I have a purpose to fulfill, so I brush up my skills. We must cope sober and sane. This kind of message is off the chain. Fierce and ferocious are my words. Yes, I am mad like a ravenous dog. Ferocious. Yeah, my words bite, but they bring you out of the blinding fog. Clearing up misnomers from your former. I've seen clean brains clearing up the smog. We are people who have the world in our palms. Read our lifelines. We decoded the psalm. We could see the stars Sirius without telescopic devices. We have the answers to life's major crisis. With a flick and a nod, we know the answer. We have the knowledge we can even cure cancer. Clear up your head and reach deep within. Eat what is life-giving and not what is life-shortening. Go back to your God mind and remember your worth. Let no one define or defile you and do your research. Let no man hold you down or capture your soul. See, all poets never quit. So quicken your wits and be bold. Remember this freestyle I offer you from the top of my dome. You have a purpose to fulfill. So meditate and study. Brush up on your skills. Remember, truth is a constant. So when you know the math, do the equations. Truth coupled with knowledge is a gentler persuasion. Use mind over matter. Minds move mountains and fist removes teeth. Gather in think tanks before you go to the streets. I said no mimic, no gimmick, no edit. For those who understand, for those who get it, this is for you. I'm out now like a ghost, but I'm never, ever through. Mama Ola Davey, all around queen in the building.
I like that. I like that.
You're welcome.
I think, you know, yeah, that was your pre-freestyle.
Yeah, now it's a freestyle, right? I had to write it down.
No, I really, I did enjoy that. We, yeah, Mom, right.
Those are my gentler bars. Yes. I got the other one.
Oh, I know. I get, I haven't even heard it, and I get the impression. I hope I never have to. No offense.
Well, if you did have to hear it, you would know it was not directed at you. So.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
You'll be all right. You ain't got to dodge no bullets.
All right. Good. Okay. I'm happy to know that then. All right. Mama, thanks so much. Thank you. All right. We'll talk to you next time. 2 weeks from now, okay?
Oh, 2 weeks. Oh, my God. We need to stay on longer then, since we don't have a lot of people. We can do 3 pieces today.
No. We're doing tonight. I got to get up early. I got to go play a big funeral in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But at any rate, we'll do that, and then we'll come back. On what day is the next one? Is it the we're pulling up. So not the 6th, but the whatever. The
13th.
Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
Yeah. JT, I think fun. I figured out his musical theme. Okay.
Okay, Friday the 13th. That'll be fun.
That's easy to remember. Friday the 13th then. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mama.
Bye-bye.
And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Awesome. All right. And last but certainly not least, let's go to Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary.
Yes, sir. I'm here and present and available.
Good to know.
For commentary.
Good to know. For commentary and nothing else.
I'm a commentarian, I'll have you know.
You're a commentarian? I tell people whenever they ask, you know, what I believe, I just tell them I'm an Amadeist. And I think...
Oh, most people love you for that if they have anything to do with classical music.
All right, we'll see if they have any idea, yeah. All right, Mary, so what do you have for us?
Well, I'm gonna twiddle a little tune that I threw together. I was gonna do a Bach that I played for my mom's. I guess it would say not her funeral because we really didn't have one, but I went to her gravesite with part of her ashes, and I played this little Bach song for her. But I'm not gonna do a Bach song because I make my own now. So I'm gonna play a little couple minute thing that reminds me of life in its form from birth to death.
That was lovely. Thank you.
Music Box Cancer. That's a nice little thing. I used to open that little thing and listen to that little thing and just think about my life and watch that little girl dancing around. Maybe yeah. It was primal.
Hey, maybe
and
it is.
I went there when my mom was dying, and now all these years later, I'm here now and sharing with you.
That's
and it's
lovely.
Nice to feel better. It is nice to feel better.
We're happy that you are. We're happy that you're feeling better. That means a lot to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stronger we go, and 2 weeks from now, we have another seance.
That's right.
No, I mean poetry.
Poetry. A poetry seance.
All right. I love you guys.
Love you
Talk
too.
To you again.
Thank you, Mary.
Night.
Night. Mm-hmm. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, playing a beautiful piece for us that really means a lot to her. And that's how we're going to wrap up the night. I really think that's a good way to do it. So I want to say thank you to all of our poets. We will return in 2 weeks' time, so not next week. Please, if you see someone who's not on the show like Diane, things like that, please let them know that we're not going to be here. It is on the calendar, but, you know, sometimes people miss that. No problem at all. And then we'll be back within 2 weeks. I'll have the next three clues for a POM, and we'll have the poetic form of the month and all that stuff that will come in. And I'll also throw down a Studio X in 2 weeks' time.
Okay.
Right, because it's the second week of the month, so
right.
we'll go.
Yeah.
We'll be there. So until then, guys, have a wonderful 4th of July. I hope you get to just really enjoy the moment and remember to be in the moment. I know as poets, sometimes it's really easy to kind of dream and be outside of it. And I think this is a time where we need to remember what's good about being who we are and where we are, especially if you live in the U.S. We got to remember what's good about being in the U.S. and what we want to represent. So from myself, from JT, from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, we want to say thank you so much, and we look forward to next time. Until then, keep writing. We love you. Good night.